When I say the word politics, what immediately comes to mind for you?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, saying things without actually saying things.
Rich white people.
I really don't want to have a conversation about it. Politics is politics.
Honestly, just lots of people arguing about some very interesting topics.
The first thing that comes to my mind is Judith Collins.
And how would you describe politics to a mate?
Conflicts.
Farming.
Colours as well.
Indecisiveness.
It's like a game. People never want to say what, you know, their real intentions are, I guess. It's something that I want to get more into, but it's just like I don't really know where to start.
Start here with the Not at the Dinner Table podcast.
To discuss all things political that you're not allowed to at dinner.
Especially if your granddad's coming over. So, Jen, apart from the fact that your laptop is about to die, how are you doing?
I'm all right, yeah.
You're good?
Thanks for asking. It's really cool. I think it's really important that we ask how people are going these days, especially considering that this episode is mental health.
It is. It was World Mental Health Day on Sunday the 10th as well, wasn't it? So, you know, we're only a week late, but we're here, you know.
Yay.
It's important that we're talking about it. Weren't you saying just before that... there was a whole theme around talking about this year.
So the World Mental Health Awareness Week, which I believe was about 2 weeks ago now, and the theme this year was around having a kōrero with people and kind of opening that conversation.
There've been some pretty sobering statistics come out around this time as well.
One of the stats that I was looking when I was doing some research was that mental health and addiction services has grown 73% in the past 10 years.
By grown, you mean that the demand for it has increased?
Yeah. And a couple of reports came out, like the He Ara Oranga, which emphasised that to fix the mental health and addiction system, we need to tailor responses that are appropriate for different age groups and communities. On that, with the cross-party mental health group and their report that came out, they said that the groups that kind of need to be tailored to, farming-related, the rainbow community, men, people who have bereaved by suicide, young people aged 15 to 19, Asian, Pacifica, and Māori. But I think one of the most important things that comes out every year around mental health reports and findings is that the coroner's report about suicide. And although this year it's a lower number than last year, we've had a decrease of 21 deaths, so 607 people who died by suicide this year.
You mentioned a report that came out from the Mental Health and Addiction Cross-Party Group, which both of the guests that we have today are members of, so Matt Ducey from the National Party and Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party. When you were talking to Matt Ducey, you asked him a question about whether or not he thinks it's easy for people to enter into the current mental health treatment system.
No, I wouldn't have thought. I think it's it must be very daunting. For some reason, for mental health, you go to someone, you don't get a comprehensive diagnosis, and then it's up for you to navigate your way through a mirage or triage of mental health services. So I'm not surprised people find it confusing, and in fact they drop out quite often, which is hugely concerning, because that's when we have a lot of unmet and untreated mental health issues in the community.
We have what's called a postcode lottery. So the type of care that you receive currently depends on what area of the country that you live in. Yeah, hi, I'm Brooke Van Velden. I'm the deputy leader of the ACT Party and also the party's health spokesperson, which means that mental health falls under my portfolios. One of the key problems that we have in the system is that I'm constantly getting emails and text messages through from people who say, I am really struggling. And the issue that I have is I've been to the provider that my DHB sends me to, but it's the same person and I don't feel like I'm getting the care that I need from this person, but there's nowhere else to go in the area that I live.
So Andrew Little said last month that the mental health system had been neglected under the previous national government. Just wondering if you thought that that was a fair assessment.
Oh, look, I think it's very easy when you are in government and being questioned on your own approach to mental health to try and place the blame on the previous government. We see this happening all the time with the Labor government. And I think it is a cop-out. I think the government has now had 4 years to understand the mental health system, and they haven't made any progress that is visible in anyone's eyes to make mental health a better system for anybody. So if he believes it's neglected under National, I would also say it's been neglected under Labor, because we haven't seen any progress on mental health. And you'll see from the Labor minister wanting to blame National, and no doubt National, once they get back in, would want to blame Labor. I think we need to be bigger than that and start actually looking at the root causes of the problem.
Just a little thing from the news recently, Andrew Little has said that the mental health system was neglected under National. Do you reckon it was?
I don't actually buy into the line of neglect. In fact, National announced a $100 million social investment mental health program. There were 17 initiatives in 2017. The current government came in and actually scrapped them. One of those projects was linking up mental health professionals to go out with frontline responders like police. Police tell me today that 20% of their call-outs are mental health related. And of course, if you're having a mental health crisis, I'm not sure the police is the best person to come out and see you. So look, that's kind of politics, cut and thrust. But the reality is, the feedback I get, most people think that we need to take a bipartisan approach to mental health, to take long-term policy settings longer than the three-year parliamentary cycles. And that's the sort of policy development we should be taking. Because the last thing we want, whether it be a mental health service user or a mental health professional, is every 3 years, if the government was to change, there's a change in direction of mental health, which I don't think serves anyone well.
So the reason I reached out to Brooke and Matt is because they're both on the cross-party mental health group. And when you spoke to Brooke, Sam, she told you a little bit about what the group's for.
The mental health cross-party group, which I'm one of the members on, is really just a group to ensure that no matter what happens in society, no matter who is the makeup of the government and parliament, that we have representatives across the House who acknowledge that mental health is a crisis in New Zealand. So that is our job, to make sure that at any given time, people acknowledge the importance of good mental health, and that the government also knows that across the board, across Parliament, this is something that we actively want to work on together.
It's kind of equal importance, whether that's employers or colleagues or teachers or member of the community. So, for example, like if you go take sick leave because you've got a cold and you can't go into work, but if you say you go into a depressive episode for 3 days, it's not kind of looked upon in the same way. How can we kind of change that? Is that something that's policy-driven from the way down, or is that something that just needs a change in, like, the way that we look at things, kind of our, like, mentality and things like that?
In my view, government supporting workplaces to have more psychological support on-site. And why I say that is, you give a good example of where someone rings up and, I've got the flu, it's all right, take a couple of days off. Especially at the moment with COVID, it's like, yeah, no problem, keep away. But then if someone's to ring up and say, look, I'm having a few depressive thoughts, the reason why that's causes huge alarm for some, say, managers, is they just don't have the actual skill set or the awareness of how to respond to that. And they feel quite anxious. They don't know how to support that person.
What needs to change, in your opinion, for New Zealanders to start seeing mental health and physical health as being of equal importance?
I think the societal change is already happening. We are seeing more people reaching out to get the care that they deserve because they feel confident knowing that it's okay to talk about their problems. I still think that we have a while to go, but certainly I think even in the last 5 years, more and more people are willing to share their stories because they know that the stigma has been reduced. There is no shame in trying to reach out for help, but we do need to make sure that when people do, that we do have help there available for them.
I guess from hearing from those two, we can kind of see that our mental health system is not really in the greatest shape. It's a bit all over the place.
Even though Matt Ducey and Brooke Van Velden are both from two different political parties, from having spoken with the two of them, it seems that they both believe that funding for mental health services could be allocated better. Brooke from the ACT Party used the example that apparently the Labor government has promised $200 million to deliver more hospital beds, specifically for acute mental health patients. However, only 5 more have been created nationwide in the past few years.
We're looking at the root cause of the problem, which is that nobody in our structure actually has the job of asking, where is the money going? And we want to actually make sure that the money that we're using from taxpayers is actually going to where it's needed to. And one of the issues that we have is, you know, if you look at Mike King, for example, he has an organisation with Gumboot Friday that people actively want to get their help from,
but
they can't get money from the government.
Build everything themselves. What we should back is actually community groups already delivering on the ground. So when I go out and talk to groups like Rural Support Trust, they're always saying, in fact, if we were actually had more money, we can do more. And something I know is that farmers and rural people generally want to talk to other farmers and rural people. What would reduce suicide amongst middle-aged white dairy farmers in North Canterbury is very different than young males in South Auckland. So it's really going to take getting to a granular level of different sectors to understand what are the levers we can pull, what are the strategies we can put in place to reduce suicide.
You'd mentioned earlier that we'd wanted to get Louisa Wall from the Labor Party on this episode, but she's coming in next week to speak to us a bit more about the Harmful Digital Communication Act. So is the former leader of the National Party and newly published author, Simon Bridges.
Yeah, and he actually just turned 45 in the past week. So
happy birthday, Simon.
Happy birthday, Simon. Hope you have a good one. But yeah, fingers crossed he comes in. He's apparently a hard man to track down, but we're on it. A product of the New Zealand Broadcasting School at Ada Institute of Canterbury.